We're going to spend a little bit more time on this mindset of the victorious Christian. A biblical mindset leads to victory. Humanistic mindsets lead to despair. And our mental health crisis in America, a lot of it is based in faulty thinking, unbiblical thinking. And I think the cure to most of the problems that we're facing out there can be found in the pages of God's Word. And so we're calling this particular lesson that we started last week, Pinball or Purpose. And, you know, are we like one of those stainless steel balls and the old pinball machines that, you know what, that's all our life is? It's just we just bounce from circumstance to circumstance with no plan, no purpose. And we just do that till the game's over. And that's our lives. Or did God put us here for divine purposes? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, help us, dear Lord, every day to live out your will, to discover your purposes. Lord, thank you that there's, Lord, more to life than what the atheist thinks there is, to what the humanists think that there is. Lord, thank you that we can go to the pages of God's Word and we can find encouragement, we can find purpose for our life. We can realize, dear Lord, there are things that we are put here to accomplish. Lord, help us to find those things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do just a real quick review of some of what I covered last week. One of the questions I think that's haunted men through the ages is this: why am I here? I mentioned about sitting beside a man who was in the last week of his life and have him look at me and say, you know, preacher, I always felt like I was put on earth for some higher purpose, but here I lay dying and I never found it. I thought, what one of the saddest statements I ever heard in my life. I don't want to sit on my deathbed thinking that, you know what, I wasted my life and did not fulfill the purposes for which God put me here. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We've got to answer for this life. Let's remember that. We've got to answer for this life. And so let's live it in such a way that we won't have to be ashamed at his coming. And so then we read Romans 1, 19 through 20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When we live our lives with an awareness of the Lord, we live our lives understanding that he is the creator God. And as much as everybody wants to roll up their sleeves and go to work with their scientific attempts to try to prove how this thing all came to be, how much easier is it to lean back in faith and just say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now let's move on to more important things, okay? Let's just move on to more important things. And so discovering your divine purposes, your divine purposes. I think one of the most important things I've tried to stress, and last week, it seems like the Sunday school lesson tied right back into the morning message, and I think God just putting big exclamation marks after this, is that when we talk about the will of God, we're not talking about just one thing. We have to understand that God has divine purposes for every one of our lives, and that, I think, helps us so much. I cautioned against trying to define the will of God in your life by a title or a calling. You know, well, you're a pastor, so preacher, you found God's will for your life. Well, I could miss God's will for my life today if I'm not careful, or tomorrow if I'm not careful. You know what? Being a pastor is God's calling on my life. It's not a summarization of his will, because his purposes unfold in our lives every single day. I don't know how many days the Lord will give me and how long my life will be, but I'm glad that he just gives it to us a day at a time. And you know what? Let's not waste it. You know, I see people, just seems like that they're tore up with regret. And so, you know, we need to get past that, forgetting those things which are behind. You know what? Ask the Lord to forgive you. Make everything right with as many people as much as you possibly can. But at some point, if you're continuing to waste every day by living in regret and being, you know, put into a spiritual coma almost, being spiritually paralyzed because all you're doing is concentrating on the past, then you need to be freed of that, okay? If you've asked the Lord to forgive you, He's forgiven you. He's even forgotten it, the Bible says. And so if you go back to Him later and say, Lord, I want to talk to you about this again, He's going to say, about what? And you know, it's not the Lord that brings those things to mind. It's the devil that wants to bring up our past. And you know, I know I say this a lot, but boy, some things should be said a lot. Remember my dad saying, anytime the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. That's just a good go-to. So all of a sudden, when you're beginning to be drugged down that road of regret because of something that you've talked to the Lord about and settled a long time ago, just stop and say, all right, devil, I know what you're doing. I'm not going down that road. Let's go down this road. Let's go talk about where you're heading one of these days. You're not going to ruin another day of my life by causing me to be paralyzed spiritually over regrets in the past. They're under the blood. And so discovering your divine purpose, as the Bible says, that David served his own generation by the will of God. That's what I want to do. You know what? I wasn't born in the time of David. I was born at this time. And you know what? You're here when God wanted you here. And you were put geographically where God wanted you. And you were put in the family He wanted you. And you know what? Just no matter what your upbringing is, your past, you know what it is? This is God's will. This is your time. This is a chance to serve your generation by the will of God. And the purposes of God are time released. The will of God's not one big thing, but a daily unfolding of divine purposes revealed to us as we seek to walk in His will. I love Psalms 143. Teach me to do thy will. What a great prayer. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. God's will for each and every one of us is it unfolds day by day. You don't know. You may have already, I don't know, the most important thing you were put on earth to do. I don't know. I think there's probably 1,000 really important things. I don't know what the most important thing is, but you may have already done it, don't even realize it. Or you know what? It may be on the agenda today. And that's why we want to get into this next set of teaching. Could we be walking past some of those divine purposes and not even be aware of it? Could we be missing opportunities just because we're distracted, we're not aware of it? I think one of the goals of changing our mindset and getting to think the right way is living with an awareness, a keen awareness of God's leading in our life. And the fact that He does have divine purposes. And Lord, I want to be aware, to be Holy Spirit sensitive, filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. You know what, folks? They aren't called divine appointments for nothing. You can't be a part of a divine appointment without being in tune with the divine. And so these are things that God must direct and God must lead in. And your life's not my life. My life's not your life. And you know what, as we go about this entire week, if the Lord gives us mercy and grace and Jesus Christ tarries His coming, I have another week of opportunities. I want to be keen to Him. I want to see what the Lord has for me this week. You just don't know what that might be. And so we're talking about finding the wills of God or the purposes for our life. The specifics of God's will is discerned as we qualify ourselves to receive them. And there are some qualifications here. There's some things that we can make sure we do every day that allow us to hear better and be more aware and discern, and the Bible word is prove, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God day by day. How do I discern the will of God for my life? I think it's so important to begin your day right. And I think I kind of closed right here last week. But I think if you're going to accomplish something spiritual and you're going to have those divine appointments and fulfill those divine purposes each and every day, I think the first thing we better do is check in with the Lord. Spend a little time in His Word. Amen. Get in our heart and our mind clean and clear before Him. Amen. Listening to Him as He talks to us through His Word. Spend some time speaking to Him. and then spend some of that time offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's where I had you turn to Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I don't think this is a one-time thing. I think this is a daily thing. Right. You know, Paul said, I die daily. I think every day, you know what? Lord, you gave me a fresh new day this morning. This morning, this is the only day that's going to be exactly like this day. And Lord, you know what? I want to check in. I want to present myself to you as a living sacrifice. Not the Old Testament dead sacrifices. Lord, I don't want to just die for you. And I'd be willing to die for you if that's your will today. But Lord, I want to live for you. And so present myself, my body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now, folks, the reason we have to start there is because our flesh and our fleshly desires and our fleshly distractions are the things that cause most of us to miss the will of God. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, then there's parentheses, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not. And so one of the things that we're reminded of is if we're led by the flesh, we're probably going to miss the will of God for that day. The purposes, because our flesh is selfish. Come on, by definition, our flesh is carnal. You know, our flesh needs to be crucified daily. Not led, not allowed to lead, but crucified. And then, I love Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I like that because I don't think you can truly live. I mean, really live a day until you spend, first of all, allow yourself to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is so exciting, folks. Listen, I'm not talking about that the will of God can only be discerned by perfect people or nobody would discern the will of God. But you know what? Every single day you can come before the Lord, say, Lord, I want to be able to lift up holy hands. I want to have a clean heart. I want to spend some time letting the word of God help me. And I want to talk to you and I want you to direct me. And, you know, I think I credit Lonnie Mattingly for being the one that says, you know, opening devotions is like calling God on your cell phone and, you know what, having that first conversation of the morning. But you know what? Don't hang up the phone. Just put it on speaker and put it back where you can listen to it and just have a continuing conversation with the Lord all day long. And so how do you discern the will of the Lord? You check in every morning. Second, to discern the will of God, I must refuse to be conformed to the world. Here we go. You know what? Our three enemies, the flesh, the devil, the flesh, and the world. And it just seems like those are the things that distract us. And I don't want to be conformed to the world. That's what it says in verse 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the world has a way of trying to get my attention and get my affections and you know what, really control my life. The world just has a way of wanting to do that. So if my flesh isn't the problem, all of a sudden now I got to walk out into the world and the world becomes my problem. We have to live here. We have to live here. But you know what? We're to be in the world, but not of the world. And I like that where he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I like that. And then I like this. The Bible says in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And that would make somebody a great life verse. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So think about that morning discussion. Lord, you know what? I want to present my body a living sacrifice. I want to die to self, Lord. I don't want the flesh to rule and reign in my life. So, Lord, I want to be crucified with Christ. Lord, I don't only want to be crucified with Christ. I want to be crucified to the world and have the world crucified unto me. Don't let things that are unimportant become so important in my life. Don't let all of the things, the distractions, the bells and the whistles, come on, that the worlds are constantly, the noise, the chaos, the drama, way too much drama, way too much drama. And we let ourselves get drawn into it. You know, I'm sorry, but there's so many more important things. I understand there's problems we have to deal with sometimes. There's things that we have to take some time with. Man alive, I just don't want my life. Listen, I really am going to beg you one more time here. Folks, listen to me. This is a really good tool, but a really poor master. This can be a good tool, but it's a poor master. And we just literally are having a generation that are spending. I mean, I read something the other day that the average, what they call FaceTime, what that your phone can measure this, by the way. Some phones, depending on what phone you have, it'll report to you how much FaceTime you actually had, where you had your phone open and you were interacting with something on your phone. And they tell me the average FaceTime for an average American is somewhere around 8 hours a day. Now, that sounds crazy to us. But you know what? You might want to check your phone and see what the report is. Because this thing has a way of getting my attention a lot more than it should. And you know what? I'll be sitting there doing it, preparing for a message. You know what I'll do, just almost out of habit? What am I doing? You know? I mean, I call them adult pacifiers. If we're not careful, man alive. You know? You know what a really good day is? Leave your house and forget your phone. That's the beginning of a really good day. And, you know, I understand it's what it is. I'm not going to spend my time putting everybody on a guilt trip. I just say, everybody, let's be careful. Because there are so many toys on these things. You know, here's what I say about technology. You know what? You have to make some decisions, okay? I guess the illustration I a lot of times use is, hey, when they were making those muscle cars back in the late 60s and early 70s, I mean, these were like NASCAR cars that me and you could buy. And there was some of those, come on, those 440 engines, okay, with the dual carburation that you could buy off of the car lot. You could get them things to go almost 160 miles an hour. And, you know, you say, hey, man, I got this car. And you know what it can do? What? 160 miles an hour. And you know what I would say to you? Just because it can do that does not mean that you should do that. You know, just because you can do that. Here's a good rule of rule. Hey, did you know you can do this on your phone? You know you can do this on your phone? You know you can have this on your phone? And listen, y'all got to decide. But, you know, I'm too dumb to have a smartphone. I don't even know why I have one. I've decided what I use my phone for. You've got to decide, what am I going to use this for? And then you know what? You use it for those things. Right. And if you know what? Decide what you're not going to use your phone for. Right. And then listen, are you the master of the phone, or has the phone become the master? What are you talking about? I'm talking about having my face in my phone and walking past an opportunity, missing a divine purpose. You know, I mean, I thank God for some of the tools that are on my phone. Listen, if I didn't set reminders, you know, then I would sometimes miss the purposes of God just because I get too busy and I forget about things. You know, technology can, like I said, be a good tool. Just make sure it's a tool and not a master in your life. And so, you know, again, we just don't want to miss the will of God. And I do that sometimes when I find out that I'm giving in to the idea of the world conforming me to itself. Okay, I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I don't want to be conformed to the world. The only way I can do that is through the transforming of my mind. All right, listen, let me just help you. It's not just the phone. It's the television. It's the internet. Come on, if you're not careful, you watch one YouTube video. Oh, Pastor, but it was funny. And then guess what pops up? And this one's funny. And then that one's funny. And then next thing you know, you look up and an hour later, you've been watching YouTube videos for an hour. And you know, the TV thing is the same way. You know, again, if you have a TV, what are you going to use it for? And what are you not going to use it for? And have some principles about the things that you are using, okay? And put some parameters on it. And here's what I always say to everybody. If you can't control it, get rid of it. If you can't control it, get rid of it. Don't stop pretending that you're in charge when you're not. And if you're not in charge, you're not able to control it, then get rid of it. Your life will be better without it, okay? And so I want to have my mind thinking in a way that is not of the world. I want God to use His Word and His purposes and these things that I'm learning to transform my way of thinking. I don't want to walk around so distracted that I'm not listening and asking the Holy Spirit, you know, give me that spiritual radar. Help me to see the things that I'm supposed to see. Help me to see the people I'm supposed to see. Help me to think of the person I need to call or somebody that needs a visit, Lord. And, you know, there's always more to do in every day than any of us could possibly have time for. So what is God's purposes today for me? Okay, for me. And then you pray about that and let the Lord help you in that, you know. You know, I wrote this down. There's a lot of things we could talk about. Again, I want to have a positive day, so I'm not going far down this road. But we could talk a lot of things about a lot of things that went on in 2020 that were COVID-related. But I will tell you, in the middle of that, I looked at my wife one time and I said, you know, I don't know all the purposes of God allowing this particular thing to happen, but if it hit a reset button, if it slowed us down, if it caused us to stop running all the time, I'm not sure one of the great blessings of having a shutdown, I mean, I don't like it. You know, things can be bad that God can still, all things work together for good. Doesn't say all things are good, but you know, even out of bad situations, God can teach you good lessons. So I'm not for what happened, but I can say this. There's some positives that came out in my life out of what happened. And all of a sudden, you know, well, they got us on lockdown. Well, isn't it sad God had to do that to slow the average Christian down? You know, family's important. You know, I say things like, you know, when Jerry Purcell was here about, you know, if we ran out of groceries, Mom went once a week shopping, sometimes once every 2 weeks, started to say Walmart. Walmarts didn't exist. Oh, happy day. And so she went down to the Kroger, you know, and did her shopping, or went to Terre Haute to the Kroger and did her shopping once a week. And whatever you didn't have, you didn't just run. And that's a challenge for all of us. Again, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. Let's stop a minute. You know, husbands and wives, these are good conversations to sometimes have from time to time and just say, hey, you know, is our life and things that really aren't all that important just kind of taking control of our schedule and our lives? And, you know, it just seems like all we do is just run. And you know, the public school is doing a terrible thing to the family in the fact that it's one thing what they're at school learning, but here's another thing, folks. You know, if you think about the amount of extracurricular activities and the average family every single evening of their life, every weekend of their life. This traveling baseball thing, I'm just going to say this. This whole traveling sports period. I talk to preachers, and we're not affected a lot by that stuff just because, you know, we're kind of in rural America, and I think we've got people that have good sense. It's amazing how many preachers say, you know what, you know the thing that's absolutely taken more families out of my church than anything else? Kids get up the age where they start getting involved in sports, and they literally are traveling almost every weekend, going somewhere, following their kids. I know it's true. Because I'm out there staying in motels enough, and it's a rare thing for me to stay in a motel and not have two or three public school buses out there and all the kids and all their parents and all their grandparents, and they're chasing these kids around the country. But wait, are we conformed to the world? Are we just looking to the world? Hey, I'm going to say this unapologetically. As a born-again Christian, your life, the church ought to be the hub of your life. The church used to be the hub of the lives of people in this community. Now the hub is the public school. They are more loyal to the public school than they are their church. They're more loyal to sports than they are their church. Yeah, but preacher, didn't you see all the signs through Jacksonville yesterday? Yeah. A lot of good sheets going to waste there. But yeah, I've seen them. I see them every year. Yay, all right, go Lakers. You went up and played baseball. And you know what? There's people in this community that absolutely think their whole life, they live and die by that stuff. Do you realize when you stand before the Lord, there's no crowns for having won, you know, the state finals in baseball? There's just not. And you know what? We got kids that will never miss a practice and never miss a game and might even become state champions that will die and go to hell because their parents never took them to church. You know why? Baseball's their God. And I'm not anti-baseball. I like playing sports. But you know what, folks? I got to keep saying this. It's a game. Baseball is a game. Basketball is a game. Football is a game. As soon as it stops being a game, shouldn't be a profession. How's that gone for us? How's that gone for us? So, you know, as a Christian, we just don't get caught up in the same things that the world does, and we won't give our lives to the same things they do. And because of that, oh, you got to keep an eye on that church, you know. I haven't put it up here yet, but I'm just about to put on our sign. I am sick and tired of being criticized constantly, our church criticized constantly by not the lost world, by worldly Christians. And I thought to myself, you know what? If I moved to this community and I was going to have to look and pick a church to attend, you know the one I would attend? I would attend the one that is most criticized by worldly Christians. That might be the best indicator of where I need to go to church. You know, some born-again Christian, some church person, you know, for the most part, you can't tell a difference between them and the world 99% of their time. And yet somebody will listen to their opinion about where they should or shouldn't go to church. Well, you know what? Maybe they ought to listen to their opinion. Whatever churches in the area, you know, that worldly Christians criticize the most, that'd make a good short list for you to start visiting, decide where to go to church at. You know, so what are we doing? We're talking about changing our thinking. Man, we can just get so caught up in this, so caught up in a hobby. Hobbies are good. When they become idols, they're bad. You know, everybody has something that you like to do and you need to do from time to time. And you know what? Take one of your kids and go do it. Take your family and go have a good time. Just be careful. Just be careful that the main things don't become minor and minor things become the main things. So how does a person find the will of God day by day? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, first of all, you're never going to find the will of God until you have been born again. Okay? You have to be saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, talking about saved people, by the mercies of God. I think if you want to discover the will of God day by day, you have to have a solemn attitude of thankfulness for the mercy that God has shown in your life. How about a sacrificed body? We talk about dying to self, not living after the flesh, a sanctified mind, as we do not conform our thinking to the world, and we've refused to let the world dictate what are the most important things, and we let the Bible dictate what are the most important things, not conformed to the world, transformed by the word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Let's ask the Lord to help us to think like him. And then the servant's heart. I like it where it says that's your reasonable service. We don't look at serving God as if it's something that God is being unreasonable to ask us to do. He gave himself for us. How wonderful if we have an opportunity to give ourselves to him. You know what? Let me just finish with this thought. We're done. You know what? Tomorrow, and maybe even now, the rest of the day, God has purposes. Well, I want you to carry that. I know we're going to go to another subject, but God has divine purposes. I'm going to talk about a man by the name of Simon that was grabbed and enlisted by the Roman soldiers to carry the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to preach this morning on carrying Christ's cross. You know, you say, preacher, if you read that few verses about him, it just seems like that man was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It just seems like a random event. Hey, how about this? God doesn't do random. And you know, you think tomorrow, you know, if there is a chance encounter, maybe there's a chance that is part of the will of God for your life. Heavenly Father, help us and guide us day by day. Lord, help us as we seek out your will and your purposes each and every day. Lord, an act of kindness, a encouraging Bible verse text to a friend going through a tough time, an opportunity to hand out a Bible tract, opportunity at work to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, something sweet that we could do to remind our wives how important they are to us, or our husbands. And Lord, time spent with the children. Lord, all of these things and many other things over the course of this week are part of your plan and purpose for our life. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be close to you, sensitive to your leading. And Lord, just guide and direct us, Lord, each and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.